Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, it's the Doom Slayers.
Yes, that's right. Our first live show is happening at Mayo Pride. How exciting.
I prefer ketchup.
We'll be bringing a special version of our cosmically acclaimed podcast with additional sketches, musical numbers, and of course, a lot of doom to slay on the 1st of June 2024.
Tickets are
8 euro and 0, 0 cents.
And are available on
www.mayopride.com.
Get your tickets now and slay it to our faces!
I actually did have a pen pal. She was so shy. She was from Finland. Her name is Vera Pukima. And I wrote her a gorgeous letter. And she wrote back, she drew me a picture of a horse and then wrote, spice up your life, and then said, are you a boy or a girl? And I was like, bitch, it's over. I'm never writing you again.
Welcome to Doomslayers, the podcast where we ponder and pontificate on the horrors of being a Homo sapien and what can feel like the conclusion of our earthly presence. My name is Donna Fella.
I'm Layla Beattie.
And I'm Annie Queries.
And together we are three loose women here to guide you through the doom and gloom of our dystopian present with an asinine antidote of appalling advice so you may slay away the modern malaise. This week, we'll be discussing and dissecting children.
We'll be dissecting children.
Yes.
Come, little children, I'll take thee away into my garden of enchantment.
Okay, no, we need to stop because they will come.
Yeah. That's actually what I sang to get on and come live with me.
That's how you get all your friends.
Yeah. So yeah, we're talking about the kids. The kids are all right, are they?
Well, I don't know. I have very mixed feelings about kids.
They're a mixed bag, aren't they?
Well, you never quite know what you're going to get.
No. do you know, I've kind of gone on a journey, you know, in terms of accepting children as like, I don't
things
know.
Things that exist.
Things that exist, yeah. I mean, I was once a child, if you can believe that. But, yeah. But they're like, do you ever have a friend?
Sorry, when I picture Annie as a child, I always picture, remember Mr. Burns as a child with the curls and the big lollipop, the big giant lollipop.
No, I picture it as something from like Oliver Twist, like running around with Fag and Robin pockets.
Shine your shoes, Gafta. Yeah. Well, I do kind of have chimney sweep energy.
Yeah.
Do you know? But I always thought that the modern equivalent to shine your shoes would be pick your Velcro. I don't know why.
The little tweezers.
Yeah. But yeah, I just think kids are like, they can be like 50% pure joy and like their innocence is so beautiful and they're like, it's amazing to see the world through their eyes. But then 50% like the worst people you've ever met and they're just so draining.
I like, just as I'm getting to the point where I'm like, maybe kids aren't that bad. They just start going,
yeah.
Oh, I just can't. Can't deal with that.
Oh, when I was coming here last week to record, remember how bad of a mood I was in when I arrived? Child sitting beside me, like screaming and like kept throwing everything its mother handed to it on the ground in the bus. And then the mother kept picking it back up and handing the thing back to it.
Oh.
And then it would throw it again. And I was like, it's just going to keep doing it, babe. Well, I didn't say that.
Obviously. Yeah, have we did gone you, too soft? Have we?
Did you say it?
Well, I don't know what it was.
I thought you were talking about it, the child.
I thought you loved assuming gender, Layla.
But I actually can't cope with, kind of like related to what you were saying, Dana, with the emotional roller coaster that a child can go on, say within like half an hour.
Yeah.
They can be like absolutely like, you know, pissing themselves laughing 1 minute and then bawling in a heap, then like throwing things and then asleep and then hungry and then starts again.
Yeah.
And I just find it so distressing because like I don't know if I'm like hypervigilant and I'm just like very sensitive to like the environment and the energy in the room, but like I do be up the walls, just like really scared of them when they're really like upset.
You're like, can you just regulate and then come back into the room?
Yeah.
But like they're also like master manipulators, like the way like a kid will fully be like having an absolute meltdown, like their life's falling apart and the mother's going like, no, he does this all the time. Watch now. He'll stop now. Don't look at him. Don't look at him.
Yeah.
That's and then scary, they give like.
Yeah.
That is scary.
It works for me though.
Yeah, you've never found a reason to change that tactic.
No.
Especially in relationships.
I want a chicken burger.
But I actually have two beautiful nephews now. And like one thing that I wasn't expecting, but I found very confronting was like when the my first nephew was born, I've put so much pressure on myself to be like accepted by this child. Because I was like, no, I like if the baby doesn't like me, then that will signal to the rest of the world that I am in fact a monster. Like that is where I went to it. It was just so fucked up. That's a lot of pressure to put on the baby and on me.
Yeah.
Do you know? So I was almost like nervous, like around him at first.
Worst thing to be like, around the child.
Yeah, because they can smell the nerves.
Yeah, they can sense
or
it.
Or they get kind of like freaked out. They're just like, why are you being spooky?
Yeah. You know?
Thankfully that phase is over now. But it's so bizarre. Like we have pictures obviously from a few years ago where like my first nephew is just like, he's just like a little lump. He's just like a little flesh bag. Do you know, like all babies are just like little lumps. And now he's like such a real boy that I cannot... You know, it makes no sense that he was once that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so weird to see him develop so much in like such a short space of time. Whereas I just haven't aged a day.
Oh, that's shocking. Yeah. Oh. I was 11 pounds.
Oh my God. What?
I was.
Great big wallop in article.
No, wow. I was 11 pounds, which
is... Yeah, a big yoke as well.
Yeah, well, that doesn't shock me. But me!
But it's good. It's good for babies to be robust.
Yeah, well, not for my mother.
No, not for mother, darling. No. Not for mommy, dearest. I was just a little slip of a thing, 7 pounds.
I don't care. A colic all over the place, I'd say.
Oh, jaundice, weird toe.
I'd say every time you picked you up, it was puked down your back.
And it's amazing that you managed to maintain that weight.
I've actually lost weight since then. Thank you, Ozempic. No, I was like in bits when I came out of the womb. I had like one weird, it's like I got a black eye or something.
Really?
Yeah, it was a bit.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Only a mother could love.
It was actually, they use the Von Tooth method on you?
It was the midwife gay bashing.
You little queer. Honestly, it started since birth. My brother was born. He was like suffocating in mucus.
And
the doctor had to like
suck it out
with like a straw sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Into it's his like mouth.
Those things that you used to remember when you were catching bugs in school and the pooters, I think they're called.
Oh, goodness.
That's you used to get the liquid out of a baby's mouth.
That's so weird that you weren't the one cum guzzling when you were born.
Oh, my God.
Disgusting.
I'm genuinely speechless.
My sister had a poo in her bag as well. Oh, I don't think she'd like
what
I'm not going to say which
inside.
One to remain anonymous. What?
What do you mean in her bag?
You come out in a bag, yeah.
Oh, in the bag for life.
Yeah, but
the original bag for life. Bag like, of life.
I think she realised that she was about to travel and obviously she went, oh, well, now I need to go. So she came out with a poo that she'd had on the way.
That's actually so dangerous though, isn't it, for the mom? Because it can cause sepsis and stuff.
Oh, yeah. God. She's trying to kill her.
It's not good to have poop in that particular area.
Well, there is a lot of poop in that whole process, isn't there?
But isn't it called merconium?
Merconium.
Merconium.
They're just being nice.
Fine as cubic merconium.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to suck that up with a pooter.
Putting the poo into pooter. but yeah, do you guys have any like nieces or nephews or anything? I just learned there's a word, there's a non-gendered word for nieces and nephews.
A nibbling.
Nibbling. Isn't that cute?
That is gorgeous. Yeah.
But I got confused when I first heard it and I was saying niblets.
My niblets. Someone in work was like to me, they were like talking about somebody who's related to them and then they were like, because they're my nibbling. Is that right? Nibbling? And I was like, what? They're my... That's right, isn't it? Nibbling? And I was like, obviously asking me because I'm just a bloody dictionary
the
on gender.
The oracle of gender. But, yeah.
I was like, babe, I have no idea what you're talking about. And they were like, they're non-binary and they're my sister's child. And I was like, yeah, go ahead. Call them whatever you want. I don't know. But that was the first I'd heard of it.
Yeah. It's cute though, isn't it?
You just prefer it.
Yes.
Nibbling. Yeah, it is nice. But then apparently you call your non-binary auntie a nibbling as well.
But why would they be a nibbling? Because they're not like a sibling.
But what else would they be?
Just a nellative.
Oh my God, nellative. That should be a thing. Well, do you have any niblets?
Just for the cat.
Well, as I said previously, my sister recently got married. And I've warned her though. She can't have a baby for a while. So I was like, just slow it. She got like a lot of milestones done in one year. So I was like, chill out now and have a bit of fun before you start pumping those yolks out.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of using that as my free trial, you know? So whenever she has a child, then I'll see how I feel about that. Use that as my barometer for like, do I want one of these full time? Because I essentially, I don't know.
Oh my God, are you thinking about being a parent?
Well, my initial...
No offense.
My initial... Not right now, Layla. But no, it's definitely not a priority. But I do obviously think about like whether I want it or not. But I essentially want a child that you can like put in the press. Do you know? Mm-hmm. I don't want one that's like, are you going to be there all the time? Do you know? Yeah. Like overstaying your welcome?
Yeah.
Maybe stick to The Sims.
Yeah.
I just, not about the commitment. And also, I'm very afraid of having a child that I don't like. Which is... very possible.
I'm terrified of it. Yeah, I couldn't raise a little me.
Yeah. No way. Someone like you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which I know biologically that won't happen, but you know.
That would be true.
My personality could drip it.
I wouldn't mind if they were like me. It's more so if they weren't like me that I'd be like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine they were no fun.
I wouldn't even mind that. That'd be kind of cute. But like, imagine. I actually wouldn't mind a little loser. That'd be cute. But if you just raised like a little dick, like, you know.
Yeah.
Or a wing. Like.
Yeah,
or just you'd have very little time for a whinge, actually.
Or a psychopath. Imagine if you like had a psychopath.
An actual psychopath.
You fully could have one.
But like,
I think that'd be fun.
You see a lot of...
okay, psychopath.
I know like the trope is always that like psychopaths come from like, you know, bad backgrounds, but a lot of them as well just come from perfectly normal families and stuff.
Well, yeah. I think, isn't a sociopath is made, but a psychopath is born. I think that's...
I gave a sociopath a blowjob once.
Oh.
I did in Pats.
In Pats?
Yeah, in the bathroom.
Oh my God.
He was a self-identified sociopath. We got on really well. He loved Ben Shapiro. He told me afterwards.
I mean, at least you know, that removes the whole danger of the sociopath, because normally you don't know that they are one when you're getting involved. But you had both eyes and your mouth wide open.
But also, if he became like homicidal... Yeah, I mean, the one who gave him a blowjob probably going to get saved.
Remember that thing I did for you in the toilet?
Tip number one, make yourself useful. Indispensable.
Remember all those little sociopaths I swallowed?
It's actually sociopiblings.
Oh God. No, but if you did have one, that would be absolutely nightmarish, because they'd be one of the worst people you've ever met, and you made them.
And there's nothing you can really do about it. You can't like parent it out of them. Yeah.
No. Yeah, but you know, those mothers who like stick by their sons even when they've like murdered someone or something. Yeah. I wouldn't do one of those now. I'd just give up. Pretend I never had
it. They'd literally have your heart broke, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you'd be very much like, oh, sorry, but world.
There's just a lot, obviously, around having a child and being a parent, like, psychologically, in terms of, like, you've, like, guilt and stuff like that, that you will just feel it all the time, no matter what. Like, because I just think it'd be very hard to feel like you're always doing a great job, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of overhyped as, like, the biggest job you'll ever do, mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you know?
Well, Is that overhyped or is that true?
Well, it probably is. Yeah. But I mean, overhyped in the sense that like there's a lot of pressure.
Pressure, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yes. Yeah. And then, yeah, there's a lot of different emotions that are tied up in like having a kid that aren't necessarily healthy, like the kind of idea that they're like a little representative of you and like, you know, a part of you and you like own them. And like, you know, there's that kind of like thing that comes with it that I'd like more distance there.
I know what I'd do if I had a child. See, this is why I can't have children. I would bring home the groceries one day. I'd kiss my husband on the cheek. And I'd start unpacking them. And then one of the children would like drop something or something like that. And the husband would say, oh, and he'd start cleaning it up. And I'd be like, I'll be back in a sec. And he'd think I'd gone to the bathroom, but actually I've gone out the front door and I'm gone for 15 years. And yeah. Then I come back and I say to the children, you have to forgive me. Yeah. I know I'd do it. So I just can't. I can't
help
them.
Oh my God.
Or I'd, like, dear. I'd use a child as a pawn, you know.
Oh, yes. A bargaining tool. Like,
you go into your father there now and you tell him.
I love the idea of my child watching me get ready. And then the child says, Mom, you're so beautiful. And I go, well, I was before I had you.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Oh my God, Layla, please. Don't become a mother.
But the world needs more sad people. So I think, you know, life's getting easier on children in this part of the world. Kids. So maybe I should have kids and
toughen them up a bit.
Keep the artists around, you know?
Yeah.
My dream would be I'd get two kids at the same time adopted and I'd rename them to Sistine et Chapelle.
Okay.
Yeah. Sistine would be kind of very quiet, very into herself, maybe kind of Russian or something. Okay. You know?
So you design personalities.
Yes. This one I'm going to get in the Argos catalogue or whatever they have for this situation.
Yes.
So she's very kind of quiet. Well, actually, they don't use pronouns. They just refer to themselves by their names. So Sistine is very kind of introverted. And Sistine is like a fantastic ballerina. And that's where like all the art comes out. And then Chapelle is... it's a bit more boisterous, a bit more vivacious, you know, might be a musical theatre kid, that kind of thing. But yeah, they both have to be in the arts.
I'm guessing they're both pansexual.
Yeah, well, you know, not going to push it on them straight away.
Really? But why are they called Sistine Chapel?
Because that's so glam.
Chapelle.
Sistine like A. That. Chapelle.
No, but have you... I once read a list of like... scandalous names that people have given their kids, and like apparently in England there was a couple who tried to call their child Barry Got Lucky at the number 7 bus stop.
Oh God.
And the court had to intervene.
Oh God. Because
they were trying to give the baby that legal name. I think if there's someone's trying to give their child that name, they should take the child off them, because sorry, Barry Got Lucky at the bus stop.
Yeah.
Or like twins. I heard there's another case where there was twins and they tried to call them fish and chips.
That's cute though.
I like fish and chips.
Maybe it's a nickname, but not a government name.
No, I
love like Fish O'Reilly and Chips O'Reilly.
I do love when
Chips O'Reilly. I love that
when parents go a bit mad on one of the children, you know, with the name. So they're like, so this is Sarah, this is Paul, and this is Fuck the Club.
No, I knew a family and they had three kids. Two daughters and a son, and the two daughters were called Princess and Precious, and the son was called Owen.
No, that's worse.
Yeah, it might as well have just called him Unspecial.
Boring.
Taxi drivers always say to me, where are your parents, like from Ireland? And I'll be like, yeah. And they'll be like, whoa, like, you know, your name is like Arabic. And I'm like,
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, do your parents have any connection to that? And I'm like, they just like the name. I just can't really be like, I chose the name.
Yeah.
They don't need to go in. Well, you're too busy talking about working in RTE.
That's true.
The tax to go like, into your name.
Though, the Irish Times. Like. During COVID, I like used to go to the little park in Ranelagh, the little gardens, and sit there. And obviously, like if you'd sit on a bench on your own. And one time this little girl came up to me and was like, hello. And I was like, hi. And she sat down beside me. And like, obviously, I'm afraid when a child talks to me on their own because I'm queer. I was like, she was like, what's your name? And I was like, Layla. And I was like, what's your name? And she said her name. And then she was like, where do you live? And I was like, oh, I just like live around. And she was like, I live there in that house. And I was like,
okay, you probably shouldn't be telling people that. Mm. But then, oh, and then she asked me, would I be her friend? And I said, yeah, you know, I'm your friend or whatever. And then this woman came running as fast as she could, panting her heart out, and was like, this, she escapes from the playground all the time to go and talk to people. And I love that child's energy that, yeah, like, while the rest of the friends are playing, she's like, I'm going to head off and talk to the adults. She's
going like, so what do you do? Honestly,
yeah. What about this live? Economy? Yeah,
yeah. Can you believe this rain?
But that's like one of the rare stories of a child being nice to me, because usually they are pretty horrible to me.
Well, they just, they're kind of like a stream of consciousness, aren't they? And they kind of say what they observe, and they don't necessarily understand everything they're seeing. So what they say can be deeply wounding.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily mean anything by it. But it, they basically, they're like, oh, I've just noticed an insecurity and I'm going to mention it. Mm. But they don't know they're doing that.
Yeah, well, like, I never got upset about it. Like, I remember one time we were, I was standing with this group of people I didn't know. It was, like, for an acting job. And, well, we were all, like, extras. And we were standing against a wall, like, waiting to go in. And these little kids were running by, and they were, like, little inner city kids. They were gospel. One of them was like, does anyone have a tissue? And I was like, yeah, here. And I gave him one out of my handbag. And he was like, is this used? And I was
little shit.
No. And then he was like, are you a boy? And I was like, no. And then he was like, all right. And he ran off, and everyone around was like, and like people adults. Were, yeah, but yeah, like nobody said anything. And then like people were coming up to me afterwards being like, I can't believe he said that. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, he was 11.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to cry over that. Like, yeah, it really does not bother me at all. Like,
I think that used to be worse for me when I was like an awkward teenager with, you know, a choppy bob and a gay voice. Yes, yeah, exactly. So I would always be up the walls if there's going to be kids nearby, because inevitably one of them would be like, he sounds like a girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why'd you have to say that in a falsetto, babe? But anyway, yeah, so I'd always just feel so exposed and so like absolutely mortified. I'm like, you look like a girl. Why do you have long hair? All this kind of shit. I'm like, oh,
they're horrifically good at spotting gay people though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the whole thing around like queer people and kids is so fucked up as well, because like, you know, all the right wing scaremongering is that like we're all paedophiles and we're all out to like hurt children. So I actually think that that makes queer people just nervous to be around kids.
Oh, it does.
Anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Because
yeah,
you're just like, I don't want anyone to think that there's anything untoward happening now.
Definitely.
And it really gets into your head and you get so paranoid and so like just self-conscious. You know, you can't just be natural.
Yeah.
Because you're just afraid that people are going to be like, wow, what's happening over there?
Yeah, 100%.
People who have followed my career for the last few years, so many people might...
Might
be familiar with I did do a drag story time for the kids in Mayo a few years ago, and Panty, the Queen of Ireland, was there as well.
Who?
She's an up and coming queen.
Yeah.
No, Panty.
Well, we wish her luck.
Yeah, I think she should look into doing it professionally.
Yeah.
You know, very
She's
promising.
Got something there.
She's got moxie. No, but Panty Bliss is known as the Queen of Ireland, and she is like this amazing drag queen and activist in Ireland. And she was what was it called? Marshal? Grand Marshal?
Grand Marshal.
Yeah. The Grand Marshal.
Grand Marshal, Marshal, Marshal.
She's the Grand Marshal of the Pride Parade in Mayo, which is, I don't know why I'm explaining everything, but I feel like there might be international people who don't know.
So a parade is like when a bunch of people walk down the street and a street is kind of like road.
No, but basically it's in a rural community, and... There's a local bookshop that does drag story times, and I'd done one the year before, and nothing necessarily bad happened on the day, but online there was a bit of furore, and people like took pictures from my Instagram and then reposted them and said I was a paedophile and that I was like coming to the West to like, you know, attack all the kids. But they'd really upped the ante the following year. And there is a very problematic family called the Burks.
No relation.
No relation. No relation to to Donna Burke.
Oh my god.
But yeah, no, they're infamous in Ireland, and they're absolute, like, they're just like these mad religious zealots, and they're really like anti-queer, racist. They're just anti everything.
They're pro-trans though.
Yeah, pro-trans death. But they staged a protest outside the bookshop. And there were so many, like, young little, like, baby queers, or people just, like, exploring who they were, like, 12, 13, 14-year-olds who were so delighted to, like, have the Pride celebration in that rural community. And, like, you could see, like, that it meant so much to them that we were all there. And so these people were, like, outside protesting, and they were, like, screaming, honestly, the most obscene things I've ever heard. Like, totally unsuitable for young ears. Like, really bizarre stuff.
Yeah.
Talking about, like, genital mutilation and all this kind of stuff, and, like, conflating that with, like, gender affirming surgery and all, like, mad, mad stuff. Horrific. So they were hardly there to protect the kids, because they were literally traumatizing them by being there.
But they're exposing them to all that horrible stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, but it was so, like, confronting, because, like, you know, when you're queer and there's all this horrible, like, history of, like, oh, they're all paedophiles and all. And then, like, I was in drag reading them a story. And then there's people saying that I was there to, like, fucking molest them.
Yeah.
So it was just so, like, horrific. But Panty was like, the way I described it at the time, she was like some sort of, like, drag Gandalf. And she was like, you shall not pass. And she was so amazing. Like, she was so good. She, like, I was watching her, right? And, like, I was so intimidated by the whole thing that I kind of went very quiet. Mm. And I kind of just wanted to hide.
That.
Yeah, it just was a lot, you know.
I thought of you in that.
And, but Pandy just, like, had absolutely no fear whatsoever. Like, she just was, like, completely unfazed by how boisterous they were being. And, like, she just gave as much as she got. She was so good. But then, anyway, I went into the bookshop and did the reading. And honestly, it was, like, the most wholesome, like, fun little thing ever. Like, all the kids, like, I felt so bad for all the kids having to come through that
horrible
madness.
Yeah.
To get in. But once we got in, we kind of just, like, made our own little kind of environment. But it was so sweet. And I was, like, buzzing off loads of them for the whole thing. Like, we were, like, I don't know, there was, like, a little typewriter in front of me, so I was tending to, like, type letters to Michael D. Higgins and stuff like that. And we were having a scream, honestly. And, like, they were kind of slagging me, I was kind of slagging them. Do you know, it was gas. Like, we were all just, like, reading each other. And then, like, at the end, like, loads of them gave me hugs and all. Like, it was just so, like, sweet. And for me, like, that was, like, it was such a nice moment to, like, come through all that and then have, like, such a nice outcome.
Yeah.
But it's, it's fucked up the way.
Well, it throws you off dynamic as well. Like, because, like, you're going through all that and then, like, you know, taking that on with you. Like, it's very hard to turn around and then do the job and not, like, have that weighing on your conscience. Like,
yeah, because, yeah, I literally came through the crowd of, like, fire and brimstone. And then I was like, well, let me just read a book about a girl who wants to dress like a boy. You know?
It's like, it's like you kind of, when you're queer, as you said earlier, like, you always feel like you're defending yourself from those allegations before they've even happened.
Exactly.
And then, like, to be so confronted with it, and then to have to just, shake that off and be fun for the, it's just, Jesus Christ. And also, like, it makes me so sad because, like, do you remember when you were young, like, how exciting it would be to see a queer person?
Yeah.
Like, on TV, in person, like, I remember seeing a man carrying a handbag once and I remember the people around me slagging him, but I remember being like, oh, that is so cool.
But like, even like drag as an idea, like, you know, growing up when I was a kid, like, I used to go to the panto every year in Galway, the Renmore pantomime, and obsessed with the dame and stuff, you know, like every year, like my favorite, same guy that did it all the time. And he was brilliant, like, and would always get his autograph after, like, was like, you're amazing. And then when I got older, like before I got into drag, obviously, but before I even like started watching Drag Race or anything like that, like, and I'd see, like, the older I got, the weirder it seemed.
Yeah.
But none of that was actually coming from me. That was coming from other narratives,
of course,
you know.
Yes,
whereas,
exactly,
like, as an innocent child, I thought it was like the most fun, fab thing ever. Then forgot that because everyone else was saying that it's like weird.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, getting into Drag Race and then going, well, kind of went full circle, paying my dues now.
And now you are really weird in drag.
But it's funny as well, like, because, you know, if I'm doing brunches and stuff, like, sometimes kids come into the restaurant and it's always a bit like, oh, God. Because, like, I'm like, what if I'm doing something like, you don't know who's going to take a picture and make it see. And, like, I'm not dressed for kids necessarily, but, like, not, like, terribly dressed either. Always quite glamorous, I might say.
Yes,
but, you know, I can't remember what song I was doing, but I was a bit, like, kind of like, you know, okay, don't slut drop now.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. Yeah, maybe 212 by Amelia. Thanks, was not the right choice for that particular brunch.
I guess that lunch getting eaten. I guess that brunch getting eaten.
That was actually the Kim Petras slut pop.
But just on that as well, like, I thought it was so... I understand that some people don't get it and they do ultimately want to protect kids, but they're kind of projecting their own misunderstandings or fears onto a child's experience. So, you know, I did get some stuff online of, like, people who seemed to, like, have genuine concern, but they were like, it's going to be very confusing for boys and girls to be told that they, you know, a boy can be a girl and all that. And I was like, children literally believe an old man every Christmas comes down the chimney and leaves gifts, and then a bunny brings them eggs, and then a fairy takes their teeth and pays them. Like, kids can accept bizarre things. They believe in fantastical things. They believe in magic.
Yeah, it's, and we encourage it.
Yeah, but that's literally how people control children. But so it's not going to be mind-boggling to them that a boy is wearing a wig and looks like a girl.
Yeah.
Because they're literally like, oh yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
They don't care.
But they love dress up. Like,
it's so,
it's
fun.
Such a massive part. Well, yeah, in my childhood. But, you know, it's like they get all that. They get they get that it's pretend more than anyone, like,
they
when
do.
It comes to drag.
I have to say as well, like, there's nothing more confusing than being a child who is a girl being told you're a boy the entire time.
Yeah.
So, like, you know,
of course,
the way that it rescues, like, queer children is, like, because non-queer children will look at that and be like, oh, cool, and, like, move on. Whereas, like, for queer children, it's like, oh, wow, this is an option. This is, like, this is what I could be.
Yeah. And finally, like, you just don't feel like an alien anymore. Do you know?
It's not for everyone, but, like, give them the chance to figure it out. Like, this idea that, like, by depriving them of something that you're going to change them is ridiculous. Like,
Not how human brains work.
I was exposed to lots of sports when I was younger and none of them took hold. Like,
And I do blame the MMR vaccine for me retraining.
The BCG. Okay, so we're going to have some letters from our listeners. I have one here from a user called XOXO Trouty Pout. The title is, "My child won't stop catfishing adults."
Oh! What?
"My partner and I keep catching our child, 14F, female, catfishing people. She isn't our bio child."
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. That don't like that.
Weird. Not relevant to bio child. I don't think, is it?
Yeah, nah.
The biosphere. "She's our niece that we took guardianship of about 6 months ago. Previously, she lived in a house with no order or rules, and her bio mom did not intervene. So she came to us having spent the last few years catfishing people, typically older men, with her pretending to be 18 or 19.
Oh goodness.
The first time we found out what was happening, we had a long conversation about trafficking and then dangers of engaging in illicit conversations with older men.
Good.
Blocked her contact with these individuals and started monitoring her communication using Bark. Woof." I presume Bark is some kind of parental control, cyber surveillance kind of thing.
She doesn't, Donna doesn't know that you have it on her devices. On her. Sorry,
say nothing.
This is me. The catfishing continued, so we eventually took away her phone and social media accounts and only let her have phone / text access via a Bark phone. Jeez, Bark do phones?
What is, is Bark some sort of security system all in one?
This
house
person
alarm?
Is trying to advertise to the Doomsday podcast.
This person works for Bark.
So I was sleeping on my Bark sheets.
I need to take a moment to talk to you about Bark security.
I turned to my wife, took a sip from my Bark water bottle.
It's not the water bottle, it's Bark.
Don't get mad, get Bark.
When they are back there.
Okay, enough.
Maybe we should look into Bark anyway.
The last time, the only thing I know that's called Bark is that like Confidential's place for gardeners.
What?
Like the one like, from Ross Road.
It's like boards.ie for like gardeners. If you want to find a gardener, they can put up there. It's a Craigslist for gardeners.
Oh, nice. How niche.
It's called Bark.
Right.
Anyways.
Not an ad.
So she has access with a Bark phone. Thank you, Bark. And limited Roblox.
Okay.
I don't know what Roblox is, do you?
Oh, Roblox is hilarious. I always watch little videos of it.
I just know about like Kim K getting mad because her like sex tape was on it or something and they her can, daughter yeah, found it.
Yeah.
What they was that?
They can have little speech bubbles and stuff. It's basically like a Minecraft thing, I think.
Okay.
I just watch videos of kids beating each other up on it sometimes.
Right. Since then, she's been better, so we gave her the original phone back and let her have social media again, where we discovered she's returned to catfishing.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Catfish for life.
And having adult conversations where she's sharing fake pics and soliciting photos from others.
Oh my goodness.
What would you do in this situation? Have you ran into this? I thought about making her watch MTV's Catfish so she can see the bigger picture, but I'm also worried that she'll get some ideas.
Get ideas, yeah.
For how to become an even more prolific catfisher.
Well,
I think if you have a talent from a young age,
yeah,
it should be encouraged.
I'm honestly so impressed with that 14-year-old.
It's
very dark and dangerous, but it shows entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah, but also like it's kind of easy to trick horny men, isn't it? I used to go on Omegle and I used to say, I used to be like, my webcam's broken, but I'm like a girl. I'm like an 18-year-old girl, blah, blah, blah. And then I'd be like, get your dick out. And then like he would, and I'd be like, oh, texting him, sexing him. And I'd have like my finger over the webcam and then just see if to come and reveal and be like, I'm a boy.
No, no, you are literally a sociopath.
I used to do that constantly. And then I'd be like, right, next one.
Yeah, me and my.
I really love that. I love that so much. That's brilliant. Because men, like horny men, really are absolute suckers, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
They're just
God, they're the easiest
mugs.
Yeah, because they want to believe it for their fantasy.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they also do believe it. Yeah. You know, such is the arrogance of men. Do you know?
Yeah, me and my friend who's now gay, but we weren't gay at the time because we were like teenagers, used to go on Omegle and we'd like make like a vagina with our hands and put it up to the camera and they'd be like, what's that? It's like, it's my pussy.
So I think you two are also catfish.
Different generation, Annie. You don't understand these things.
It's from, I've heard of Omegle. But I never even went into like chat rooms or anything when I was
really?
Kid. I was too innocent.
She was too busy on with Club Omegle. Penguin.
Excuse me, I was protected by Bark, actually.
Thank you, Bark.
Thank you, Bark.
I'd literally be like a 13-year-old on my laptop. I would be like playing Club Penguin, then I click into another tab, I'd watch Sex and the City for 10 minutes, then I click into another tab, go on Omegle, put in 18 plus, and then just be working away.
Oh my God, away. Flat out.
Oh, honestly.
Busy gal.
Hours I spent. Hours of fun.
Well, there's...
What was I doing?
Only playing outside.
With Link.
I was tilling the soil, actually.
Weren't you playing with your, what was it called? Crazy paper?
Fancy paper.
Fancy paper, yeah.
Yeah, I used to have fancy paper.
You can hear all about Annie's fancy paper obsession on pre-drinks at Layla's.
Annie was catfishing through the art of pen pals.
I actually did have a pen pal.
Oh, Flat Stanley, was it?
Oh my gosh, she was so shy. She was from Finland. Her name is Vera Pukima. And I wrote her a gorgeous epistle, a gorgeous letter. And she wrote back, she drew me a picture of a horse and then wrote, spice up your life, and then said, are you a boy or a girl? And I was like, bitch, it's over. I'm never writing you again.
Spice up your life, are you a boy or a girl?
Well, the fancy paper was probably a giveaway.
Probably. Yeah, the fact that the Spice Girls were popular when you were young just blows my head.
Yeah, they were all the rage. Yeah.
Okay, anyways, back to Trouchy Pants.
Oh, goodness.
So I want to address a few things.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, I do not like the tone of the writer of this message at the start. Because it seems like they've already written this child off. This young woman off as a lost cause.
And they're trying to dissociate from her as well, aren't they? They're just kind of like, it's not our fault.
They're kind of, they're very just like, well, she came to us broke or whatever, which I don't like. Mm. But also, like, I think there is a way to curtail this, but maybe direct it in a different direction.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe she could become like a ghostwriter for OnlyFans.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. I was going to say creative writing.
Writing.
Yeah, well, maybe she could. Yeah, we could get her into creative writing, creating the characters.
Yeah, she could, like, she could write, like, amazing three-dimensional female characters.
She could.
This is what the world needs.
I think she could probably write a whole, like, series of thrillers about a catfish spy or something.
Yeah, she could be the next Emerald Fennell.
Yeah, she could put in twist after twist after twist.
But this girl obviously is getting something that she needs from this that is not, she's not getting elsewhere. So they don't sound like they're trying to understand the need there.
Well, actually, what I think is happening, I think she's establishing power and she's getting power from doing this because she's manipulating these men and they're falling for it, which makes her feel like and so she feels totally in control.
Definitely.
Which she doesn't have because she's in this environment that isn't giving her what she needs or giving her enough space or allowance or I don't know what. She's obviously a bit ahead of herself.
Yeah.
Do you know? So I maybe mean, she needs a little
I really don't like
bit.
The way she's going about it, but like kids do weird things and then there's usually a reason behind it, and the control thing that you explained is a really good explanation of it.
I think they could, she seems like she's an independent thinker. She is, she's got initiative. There's actually so many good qualities there. So I think they should set her up with like a small business.
Yeah.
Get her to pay her way if she's going to be catfishing so
and
much.
Praise her as well. Like, I think when you, instead of going at her being like, why would you do this? Be like, you're obviously really intelligent and I understand that you're getting frustrated or whatever, but like you need to channel it in healthier ways or...
Exactly. Like support her because she might be bored or like this could be like a coping mechanism from her chaotic environment previously and she doesn't know how not to do it.
I'm sure she didn't disregard when the danger was explained to her. I think she probably just...
Yeah, I mean, I think like you do kind of know at that age. I think that like, especially nowadays, they must know that like this is like a big danger zone.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, but we have just feel like she, it's like she knows that, but she's like, well, this is too much fun.
Yeah, because she might enjoy the thrill of it as well.
Yeah.
She might need the excitement.
Mm.
We've said before that like... kids' brains, they just do not comprehend consequences at all, really.
No, that's because your prefrontal cortex forms later in life and that's about executive decisions.
Women in STEM.
That's me. So I think that person should just emancipate themselves from all the family and just find a new family because they're all shy pants.
Honestly, we'll take you in.
Yeah, come live can be the fourth be doomslayer. Slayer.
Yeah.
There are three of us.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think, I don't know, we helped the child, I think, more than the parent there.
Well, I care about the child.
I'm here for the kid.
But thanks for writing in.
Best luck with all that. Okay, I have one from Lollacost.
Oh.
What do you do when your child thinks time out or losing things as punishment is funny? We're about at our wit's end with our four-year-old boy. I get that this age is supposed to be tough, but what do you do when any attempt at punishment is met with laughter? And by punishment, I mean time out or losing privileges or losing things like taking away a toy or not doing an experience he was told we would do. He just seems fine with this. How do you have a consequence for an action if the consequence doesn't affect them? What do you do?
Torture.
Torture?
My mom used to send my sister to, she'd be like, go to your room. And my sister would be like, okay. And then my mom would be like, no, actually, don't go to your room. Go,
what do you
go
want?
Sit on the stairs.
That actually would be so difficult.
So, well,
that's gas. You have a funny child on your hands. Like, just stop punishing him.
Yeah.
So they just think everything's gas.
You'd be like, you are not going to the bar today, and they piss themselves. Like, that. That's hilarious.
So they're obviously just happy out either way.
Yeah.
That's actually great to have.
That doesn't even sound like a problem.
Just
but
stop doing things with it.
Maybe they See, I think this child has a level of awareness where they understand that the parent is doing a performance of sorts when they're like, that was very bold. And he's like, oh my God, we're doing improv, are we? Okay. Do you know? I feel like he's just like, lol. So maybe he would respond better to like positive reinforcement. That was good. I prefer when you do this, you know. That was great. Or what rather if they, than that thing.
They just start laughing at everything he does and make him insecure.
Shame is like an underutilized tool.
Oh my God, shame is like one of the most powerful things you can have as a parent.
Yeah, just make him think everything he does is cringe.
Yeah.
And he won't do anything.
She's like, what are you doing, you loser?
Oh my God, you're so embarrassing.
How does that parent cope with that though? Because if I give out to a child and he laughed, I would just piss myself as well.
Yeah, like, I know. Yeah,
and then the whole thing's gone out the window. The minute you laugh in front of a child when you're trying to be serious, it's gone.
If you go too hard all the time, then they don't listen to you. And then if you're too soft, they don't listen to you. So it's like you have to be like really happy-go-lucky, but then like, do you know like those teachers in school that were always really sound, but then they'd fucking flip like that one day. And you'd be like, oh God, we took it too far. And you wouldn't do it again because you respected them.
Maybe that child doesn't respect the parents.
Yeah, and I would ask, what are you doing to not be gaining respect? And sort yourself out.
Maybe
get him a podcast, Mike. He sounds funny.
Is our resolution for all the problems today to do a podcast?
Turn them into podcasters.
Yeah. The world needs more podcasts.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a paradynamic. And you know, sometimes if you get a dog and they're very unruly, it's because they think they're the leader of the pack.
Yeah.
So I think the same thing has happened to this boy.
Yeah.
So he's just the boss of everything. And he's just like, puny parents, you can't control me. Well, a bit like the kids. I've been talking about kids. The kids in Capra.
Oh, God.
Are absolutely feral.
Yeah.
And they understand that they can receive no punishment that will mean anything, because like they're not afraid of authority, they're not afraid of the police, they're not afraid of like security, and all the adults are terrified because they can't do anything. But I do think it's kind of fierce.
I
wish I felt like that growing up.
Inner city children are hilarious, like I'm sorry.
Yeah, we were doing a boot camp a few months ago, and these children on these scrambler bikes just like appeared over the hill, and we were blinded by the headlights, and all we heard was like, and it was like Mad Max. It was absolutely terrifying. And they were all wearing like these like masks that had like gruesome mouths and all painted on them. They were terrifying. But I also at the same time was like, that would be so fierce to be so in that motorcycle gang.
That is so cunt, like,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Like work.
Yeah.
Absolute
like,
divas.
Imagine cruising through Cabra on your little electric scooter going like, I own this fucking place.
Yeah, and you do.
Do you know?
So, you know, let the children play. until they break into your apartment complex and try and burn down the creche, which actually did happen to us.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was coming home from brunch the last day, and the door into or part of the apartment block was surrounded by kids. And I didn't appreciate but I did have to go into the other door. But I was kind of annoyed at myself, but I was like, this is easier. Because I'm going to get to the door, I'm going to have to fumble with the card, I'm going to have to try and not let them in, they could say something.
Yeah.
And there's no consequences for children, they're just so unruly. It's better to just avoid. With anything else, don't give in, but when it's kids, I'm like, just do whatever you can to survive.
Literally. Honestly, no, they're terrifying.
Yeah, they are. I have a question from Itchy Gitchy Yaya Papa. My 10-year-old son can't stand affection between his father and I. I'm sorry, I'm going to laugh at this one because it's hilarious. If I hug my husband, my son will come over after and hug me for longer. When he sees my husband kiss me, my son will glare at his father. He will quietly make comments like, get away from my mother. I have boundaries around our children. This is innocent pecks and hugs. He groans when he hears his dad come home. He has told me he wishes that our family was just me, him and his little sister.
Oh, God.
I've always been attentive and affectionate with my son. I reassure him all the time that he will always be my baby and he means the world to me. I spend more time with my kids than my husband because of his work schedule. It's not him being neglected. My husband is a stricter parent, but he's never mistreated our son. I'm scared that no matter what I do, this won't change. I feel lost and I'm stressed.
Interesting.
It sounds like your son thinks he owns you.
Yeah.
I think he's not vibing with dad for some reason.
Yeah.
Not vibing with him at all.
Did they say, is daddy active?
Has he written a letter to Daddy?
Like, does Daddy participate?
No, they didn't say.
Well, they said Daddy's a bit stricter.
They said Daddy is in work a lot.
Yeah, I think he doesn't have a good connection with them.
Mm.
Mm. And he's just a bit like eye-rolled.
Get
like,
off my mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of love it.
But yeah. I don't know, maybe, I don't know, is there something else going on maybe that she's not like talking about, do you know? Like maybe she, like maybe the dad's not a good person and she's like always, she's still in love with him and all this kind of stuff. And then the son sees it. So he's going like,
maybe she was one of those.
I love you, you beast.
Literally.
Maybe she was one of those parents. Have you seen those TikTok mothers who are like, I feel sorry for the woman who's going to marry my son because
I'm
his whole world and all this. It's disgusting.
That's so unhealthy.
No, I get so freaked out by people who are really close to their parents.
Yes,
like
thank
people
you.
Who say their parents are their best friends. No. I'm like creepy.
Something wrong if you don't hate your parents a little bit.
Right.
Like it's like, I think a healthy approach is like, I used to hate them, but now we get on great.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
You can respect them and love them as peers, but not besties.
No.
Yeah, no. Like full on adults, like kissing their parents on the lips. No. Like maybe, okay, it's maybe a healthier way of being brought up and stuff, but it gives me the absolute willies.
Yeah. I think that dad is probably a bastard.
I kind of trust the son.
Always trust the kids.
Yeah, really?
Well, I just think in this situation, they're
even the catfisher.
Maybe not her. Well, no, we still trusted her more than the letter.
We did like her.
Because I just think the kids are, they're more honest about how they feel.
Yeah, you know? Like they mightn't fully understand it, but it's not, it's, you know, this whole like narrative of things being phases, which they are, but they act like when things are just a phase that it's for no reason.
Yeah.
Because it's just a phase. It's like, no, there's always a reason as to why you're going through this phase of like hating your dad or whatever. Like, so it's either something he's seeing or something she's doing or something she's saying, or, you know, it's coming from somewhere. Yeah. It's not just randomly hating him. Like, do you know?
Yeah. Stop treating your son like your other boyfriend. I'm just going to assume it's her.
She needs to pull away.
Yeah.
Do you know? She needs to pull away and she should go on a long trip for like a month.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
so
leave them with each
other. He's left with the father.
Oh, that's a great idea. She should take the dad's job, dress up in male drag, go.
Yeah.
Let them spend some time together.
Yeah, like a reverse Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, my God. The dad should dress up as her like Mrs. Doubtfire and then reveal.
Oh, my God.
You thought you loved me.
Mrs. Doubtfire, the dad.
Yes.
And then he could go up and be like, I hear you don't get on with your father. And he'd be like, and he'd tell her the truth then. And then he'd go.
Yeah, they'd finally connect. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there'd be no unwanted consequences from that plan, I don't think.
We are so good at this.
Maybe we should be parents.
Maybe. Let's all spunk in a jar and see what comes out.
Well, the most significant event in my childhood has to be...
Unfortunately, that is all we have time for this week on Doomslayers. If you would like to share your doom with us, please follow the link in our bio on our Instagram at DoomslayersPod. And remember...
That's because none of us got enough love in our childhoods. And that's showbiz, kid.
Doomslayer is not responsible for any injuries, impalements, prolapses, tweakments, fissures, timeshares, negative equity, large hadron collisions, small servings, epiphanies, or failed two-step verifications. Hereunto experienced and or endured by the listener in response to any advice of ministers and witness whereof the parties hereunto have set their hands to these presents as a deed on the day, month, and year herein before mentioned. Doomslayer is incorporated a subsidiary of Hunky Fireman Calendars Limited, which is a registered trademark acquisition of Fatherly Fond and Fancies and Sons. Any attempt to slander or sodomize the Doomslayer name will result in cancellation of any outstanding prize bond and or death.